Sunday, June 30th, 2019, we have put an incredible amount of work into today's broadcast. We taped a lot of it yesterday. We taped a lot of it today so we can get every factoid, every piece of info in. Please stay tuned today and get this live audio feed and video feeds out to people, because the information we're going to lay out is astounding. The whole world is waking up to globalism and just how evil it is. I'm about to play an excerpt of an incredibly powerful Tucker Carlson piece from Asia. Then Robert Barnes and myself lay out that the mainstream media admits that Joe Biden has neurological problems, and this is just earth-shattering to their entire operation. That's coming up. The Democrats have openly endorsed abortion as a spiritual sacrament. I'm not kidding. Wait till you hear this. Compilation of dozens of clips. So many special reports. A review of the insane debates. Trump in North Korea. What's really behind that? And this historic crossing the DMC, only sitting president to do it. And just so much more. This Sunday broadcast is beyond critical. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Thank you all for your support. The biggest thing you can do is, again, share this live link or tell folks about local stations you're listening to, because history is happening. This is the 4th of July coming up to remember.
But back in our native land, the United States of America, the Democratic Party went completely insane yesterday. That's been happening for a while, of course. Insanity is a process. But last night, at the first Democratic primary debate of the 2020 season, they made it official. Elite Democrats have permanently broken with reality. They no longer care about what's true, what's possible, even what's real. They live in a kind of dream state, a place of fantasy punctuated by howls of self-righteousness. Watch as Julian Castro, and keep in mind, he was an actual cabinet secretary in the Obama administration. That was only a couple of years ago. Watch as Julian Castro explains that men who get pregnant have a moral right to taxpayer-funded abortions. Not joking. Watch this.
I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice. And, you know, what that means is that just because a woman, or let's also not forget someone in the trans community, a trans female, is poor, doesn't mean they shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to choose.
And so they cheered. Behold, late empire liberalism in full flower. Who exactly is the constituency for Castro's idea? Men dressed as women who get pregnant. That's the constituency. Unfortunately, there are precisely zero people on planet Earth who fit that description. Not a single person, actually. There never have been any people like that. There never will be any people like that. Why? Because it's impossible. Biological men cannot get pregnant. Pretending otherwise is lunacy. It's the very definition of lunacy. But Julian Castro doesn't care. Taxpayer-funded transgender abortion sounds like something that all good progressives should support. So Castro fervently does. And critically, he knows that nobody in the room will defend science or pause to ask him, what the hell are you talking about? They can't say a word. They're too intimidated. They know HR is watching. So they nod like monkeys, as if everything he's saying is completely sane. Oh, good point, Mr. Secretary. Trans females shouldn't have to pay for their own abortions. That's racist. The whole thing was like a cartoon or an Evelyn Waugh novel. It went on like this all night. Here, for example, is Julian Castro agreeing with Elizabeth Warren that it shouldn't be illegal for foreigners to break our laws. Watch.
When somebody comes across the border, not to criminalize desperation, to treat that as a civil violation.
Criminalize desperation. And you thought this was your country just because, like your ancestors, you were born here, just because you pay half your income to the government to keep the whole thing going. You thought it was your country. Think again, racist. America belongs to the rest of the world. Your job is to shut up and pay for it. Complain and we'll punish you. Bill de Blasio often makes that point. Now, de Blasio, the single worst mayor in the 400-year history of New York City, that's impressive. But how did he wind up on a presidential debate stage last night? God knows. Maybe he illegally immigrated there. Doesn't matter. He was there. And once he had the mic, de Blasio promised to seize your money and give it to his supporters, who, he explained, deserve it much more than you do.
Yes, we're supposed to be for 70% tax rate on the wealthy. You hear folks say there's not enough money. What I say to them every single time is there's plenty of money in this world. There's plenty of money in this country. It's just in the wrong hands.
Got it? We've got the power.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news today.
I think it was a tougher night for the most seasoned candidates on the platform for
why do you think
Vice President
that was?
Biden. Because they seemed like part of the past rather than the future. At times, the vice president seemed somewhat confused to me in handling some of the questions and following some of the actions. He seemed a bit defensive.
I'm Alex Jones.
I'm Robert Barnes.
And we are about to break down one of the biggest stories of the 2020 election to come yet. And that's Joe Biden. Why can't he talk? Why is he slurring his words? Why is he clearly having moments where he freezes up like Angela Merkel of Germany is right now? And why, if you talk about it, you get attacked by the mainstream media? But it turns out that we've been vindicated. Tomorrow's news today. It was back in late April that he had his big campaign announcement speech. And during that speech, he sounded like he drunk either a bottle of whiskey or he'd had, quote, another stroke. That's because over a decade ago, he had a massive stroke. He almost died. Doctors said 50-50 chance he wouldn't even come back from it and that he'd be brain damaged. So I asked the question, has he had another stroke?
I want to thank Rich Fitzgerald, the county executive, Allegheny County executive, for being here. And all my time in public life, once I've gotten involved, the country wasn't built by Wall Street bankers, CEOs, and hedge fund managers. If the enterprise hits hard times, everybody took a hit. Union workers, the UAW, took incredible cuts in their future and their pensions and the less to get GM working. They also got that last year and try to cut wages or freeze wages for their people. Right today, the same is happening in big hospital systems. I think we have to rethink how we define what constitutes a successful economy. Folks in America don't think their children are going to have the same standard of living they had. How can a person dignity be maintained? Why they do that? It means investing much more in medical research to conquer devastating diseases like cancer and addiction and Alzheimer's.
And the media said it was fake news. But now, months later, even Axelrod and CNN are saying, what's wrong with Joe Biden?
You have David Axelrod on CNN saying, why does Joe seem so confused up there? Sean Trendy for Real Clear Politics commenting on Twitter that something seems to be wrong with Joe Biden. Van Jones questioning what is happening with Joe Biden. Why? Because he sat there and he struggled to get simply a sentence put together or sentences put together with each other. And in fact, his save position seemed to be to keep saying, sorry, my time's up, whenever he ran out of words to say or couldn't remember what he was supposed to say. He couldn't even bridge words or sentences together. That's how bad it was.
Bob, for me, there's two big angles here. I want to get your take on them. Number one, why would the establishment run Joe Biden when clearly he's 76, he's had serious brain surgeries, and he's slowing down, he's got major cognitive problems? Are they using him as a placeholder that they can destroy kind of as the old Democratic Party and introduce the super woke 2020 party? Is that what's happening? And then, why would they say it's verboten for me to point out the obvious 2 or 3 months ago? Was that because it wasn't to be pointed out till later when they did it?
Well, I think it's two parts. First is there's this desperation within the big money wing of the Democratic Party that looks at its candidates and sees a clown show that cannot compete with the president. And consequently, they needed Joe Biden because Biden looked the best in the polls. Biden had the most blue-collar appeal in their minds. So they were desperate to force him into the race. And it looked like he was dragged into the race, almost like he was a hostage running for office, not someone who wanted to run for office. So, you know, it's part one. And part two is, to how did they think they were going to get away with a person that has his age issues and health issues to actually be up there? It was so bad at the debates that Biden was the only one who refused to do press interviews after the debate because they didn't want him interacting at all for even 5 seconds. That would further expose his problems. Why? Because they probably thought they could get away with it like they tried to get away with it with Hillary in 2016. That they could just drug her up, put her out there, do the John F. Kennedy debate prep routine, and they could do the same thing with Biden, and they didn't realize it wouldn't work. That his health is so bad, it can't function.
Why were they so upset back in April when I pointed out the emperor's new clothes, the elephant in the room, and they even said on CNN, that's why he's been banned. He's trying to interfere with the election. I'm an American citizen. People questioned John McCain's health, and rightfully so. People questioned Ronald Reagan's health when he reran in 1984. Since when is it fake news or bad when somebody can obviously not even talk, look sleepy all the time, to question it. It's just crazy.
The deeper and the greater the truth, the more they need to suppress it and censor it when it goes right to their core issues that exposes the falsity of their position or their candidate or their party. And because you were one of the lead people to expose it with Hillary Clinton, it led to the first wave of social media bans. To expose their savior a second time and Joe Biden was one step too far for Oliver Darcy and the CNNs and the mainstream press.
So what are they thinking now as the wheels come off? He's like Julius Caesar with the other 20 candidates stabbing him to death on the stage and in the media. Your prediction as the admitted top political gambler in the world, the most winning, right now, your prediction, the current way it's going, how do they get him to exit stage left? Or are they crazy enough like Hillary, having seizures, falling down, you name it, to just force him in there?
Well, one can understand why Joe Biden opposes busing, because right now he's in the bus that's going over the cliff. And they're driving it that direction. That's where they're going to go. And I think that he's going to jump out of that bus before it goes over the cliff, or he's going to go over it on his political gravestone. The words are going to be, "My time's up. Sorry."
To watch them eat their own and to watch them turn on Obama's buddy and imply he's the KKK really shows you that the left wants to dominate everybody with this SJW police state system, but no one else is listening to them, so they can only have power within their shrinking bubble, but they're getting more and more extreme as it unfolds. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be one incredible 2020 race. None of these candidates are doing well except the congresswoman from Hawaii, so of course they're targeting her. We're going to be covering it all live tomorrow on the Sunday show, 4 to 6 p.m., and throughout next week with myself, Owen Schroyer, and of course, David Knight at Infowars.com/show. As we end this special Saturday transmission, though, I want to play a few of the important reports from this week, one where Democrats literally worship abortion as their new religion, shocking the world, and several other key reports that are just so essential. Whatever you do at Infowars.com, at Newswars.com, take this live feed or take the feed after this and share this link with everyone. Because if you don't share it on your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, your YouTube, if you don't share it on your email, your text message, or by word of mouth, the censors will win. Right now, we're in a stalemate. That's why this fight's so critical. But that's my last question, because I heard you talking about it when you were co-hosting with Owen Friday. What do you make of the open worship of abortion and get that baby, kill that baby, show them, not just the nasty comics, but mainline left saying that this is their new religion?
Well, it fits within a broader context and a broader construct of a lack of humanitarianism across the board, a lack of respect for the human being, a lack of respect for the individual, a lack of respect for the human conscience, the human soul, the human spirit. It sort of manifests itself in their love of AI and their love of big tech and their adoration of a sort of a global structure that devalues individual rights and individual interests, and their lack of respect for free speech or free press of an independent kind or character. So it's just a broader, deeper, and the clearest and cleanest manifestation. When you're unwilling to protect the most vulnerable human life in the world, it shows you what your real values about human life are.
And it shows they're not liberals. They're not humanitarians. They're bullies. They want to kill old people so we can save more money. They want to kill babies. It's this idea that if somebody's losing, they're winning. Instead of having a non-zero-sum game, they're all about a zero-sum game. The pie doesn't get bigger. That is the heart of authoritarianism, the heart of Nazism, the heart of being really idiots. And in fact, there's one more piece we're going to air after this, and that's that four-year-old video on Soylent Green where they're openly heating hospitals with dead baby parts, you name it. This is the horror of these people. And even though those of us that love justice and love God don't want to look at this and be aware of it, we have to stare at it. We have to know about it. And we have to share it and decry it so that people's hearts out there won't become hardened to it and will become soft to it and will care again. That's how we defend the unborn. Hell, now they're killing babies. After they're born, that's how we get this done. Robert Barnes, thank you. So coming up, excerpts from Wednesday and Thursday night and other key special reports. Thanks for joining us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Our main story tonight concerns breast implants. Some are against them, others believe they're fine in rare cases, and many believe you should be able to get them whenever the fuck you want. Sorry, did I say breast implants? I meant abortions. Tonight's main topic
concerns abortion.
So tonight, in honor of America, I'd like to do a salute to abortion in the Brakes 10th Annual Salute to Abortion.
Get out of my behind. Get out of my vagina. Get out.
It's a woman's body, and she should not be forced to carry anything inside of it. It wouldn't make her keep a tapeworm. That has a heartbeat.
So you're comparing a baby to a tapeworm?
A fetus is a parasite, sweetie.
That is not what a fetus looks like, okay? It's a clump of cells at 12 weeks.
You think that it is the white man's duty to fix everybody's problems, right?
Because you adopt.
How many did I adopt? I kill my kids.
Well, that's what you do to babies, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
You love it, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I hope that you come to Christ, sir.
Oh, I'd never go to Christ.
I hope that you come to Christ.
No,
sir.
I don't go to Christ.
Fertilized egg is a human being.
Yeah.
A human being.
You're a pig.
Because I don't want to kill babies.
Oh, you kill them. You let them live so they can starve to death.
Dead.
Why'd you spit at us?
I don't agree with you.
No uterus, no right to talk about it. Understand me, motherfucker?
In the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases, and using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo lit up the One World Trade Center spire in pink to celebrate his radical expansion of abortion in New York. State lawmakers approved a law permitting abortion in the state for any reason until the 24th week of pregnancy, and then up until birth.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
There was a question over here.
Yes. Are you for third trimester abortions?
My answer to you is that should be a decision that the woman makes about her own body.
There's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. Is it okay to still have children?
How do you justify the decision to allow Planned Parenthood to rent in this city for free?
That's your time. Next speaker.
There's a new video out on Infowars.com of two partial birth abortion, 8.5-month-old babies. And it makes me want to kill people. I'm going to just be honest with you right now. My guts, my spirit sees a baby who got killed and its brain sucked out by some asshole. And then they make a joke out of it. These are abortion doctors with third trimester babies that were about to be born, defiling them, making jokes about them, that they're having a fight.
They're playing with dead babies in a little medical pan. And it was pretty shocking, gruesome stuff to see, and just total lack of regard for humanity.
That's just absolutely amazing. We're going to have Abby Johnson. I'm sorry.
God bless abortions and God bless America!
Don't knock it till you try it. And when you do try it, really knock it. You know, you got to get that baby out of there.
Incinerated to heat UK hospitals. Soylent Green, ladies and gentlemen, is made out of people.
But now children are literally being passed through the furnace in order to fuel hospitals in the UK. They're being sacrificed on the altar of efficiency and prosperity.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
The powdered flesh from dead babies. Some people believe they can cure disease.
Because of its enormous popularity, Soylent Green is in short supply. Remember, Tuesday is Soylent Green Day.
The supply of Soylent Green has been exhausted. You must evacuate the area.
Today is Tuesday!
The federal court ruled that the shareholders of PepsiCo, big Bilderberg Group company, are not allowed to know what they're using the baby parts for in the flavoring, but we already know.
So enjoy the flavor.
We're going to get the real solution, which is going to be a combination of death penalties and sales taxes.
I'm consistently pro-death. I'm for assisted suicide. I'm for regular suicide. I'm for whatever gets the freeway moving.
Is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
They told me to say that they were sorry, but that you had become unreliable.
Is this the kind of society that you want to live in? Any kind of society that would do this to its children will do it to its senior citizens. It will do it to its dissidents. That kind of society will also eventually turn on its police, on its army, on its prison guards, on the Quislings and the collaborators who make that possible. This is nothing but a suicide cult.
The scoops are on their way. The scoops are on their way. I repeat, the scoops are on their way.
You will find out why Soylent Green means life. You will find out why Soylent Green means death.
We've got to stop them.
What is the secret of Soylent Green?
Soylent Green is people!
Next thing they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them.
InfoWar. The most banned network in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't let the globalists win and get great products you already need. As much as I work and as much stress as I'm under, if I didn't take the high-quality fish oil or the turmeric, my knee and my back and all the things I've been injured doing things over the years would be untenable. They're great products. They're all 50% off store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. Store-wide, free shipping, 50% off, double Patriot points. That sale's got to end early next week. It'll still be a sale on some items, but some things like Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, people already love that. It's one of our best sellers. That's selling out. X2 that I got a big shipment of, it's starting to sell out. Supermel Vitality is starting to sell out. Rainforest Plus is starting to sell out. We got a big shipment into the 8-pack Power Stack. Learn about that. Total Body, Total Support makes a great gift as well. We got plenty of that. It just came in. We just got Turbo Force Plus, sold out for months. 10-hour clean, healthy energy with all your vitamins, all your minerals, amino acids, and 5 different types of healthy caffeine and a bunch of other natural boosters that time release. We had to pay a top company a lot of money to give us this formula just for the caffeine release. It's over 10 hours. One releases in the first two, one releases within 15 minutes, last 2 hours. The other would last about 4 hours, up to 10 hours. Clean burn, nothing else like it. We've got Turbo Force back in stock. We've got the great protein bars, highest quality back in stock. All of it, 50% off, save InfoWars special. Get the apparel, get the books, get the videos. Whatever you do, just stuff you need to buy, get it there, and know it stands in defiance of the globalists. Thank you for your support. Again, we could not do it without you, but don't let them win. Why are they coming after us so much? The audience gets it. Because we're promoting Americana, we're defeating the globalists. How do you defeat them? Spread it word of mouth. The Forbidden Show. Tell everyone, InfoWars.com. We'll be right back with more of this bizarre display of globalist mental illness and tyranny on the other side. Remember, if you're watching and listening to this transmission, you are the resistance. Many people are saying, wow, when did the Democratic Party become completely communist? When did they openly start saying, we're going to take all your guns, we're going to seize your wealth, America's bad, borders are bad, everybody in the world can come here and get free stuff? When did this start? Well, in the last 50 years, large corporations and multinational combines began to openly plan for the overthrow of Western civilization by creating large domesticated groups who will demand more and more from their client governments. And that's why everything I talked about 25 years ago is, quote, now come true. It was already true in the big foundations. It was already true inside the major universities. It was already what they were planning, what they were preparing for their takeover. The only way to defeat capitalism is to basically undermine it and collapse it so people reject it. Again, that's the Cloward and Piven strategy. Well, we've all seen the huge hoax going on that there's concentration camps with people in them on the southern border. The truth is Latin America and Asia and Africa and many areas are collapsing
because of their populations doubling and tripling in size, and because they have corrupt socialist governments, like in Venezuela. And these people are coming here hundreds and hundreds of thousands a month that we're actually catching, hundreds of thousands a month that we don't catch. Well, Caitlin Bennett went out to St. Louis, Missouri, our great reporter. She travels across the country, and almost every person she talked to were drooling, mindless zombies. The name of the report's up on Infowars.com. It's titled AOC's Fun Camps. And they, almost to a person, believe that there are literal death camps that are just as bad as Nazi Germany, or maybe a little bit better. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's collapsing borders. People coming in from Uganda and coming in from Sudan and pouring in from the Congo, demanding all their free stuff. And the Democratic Party members all got up on stage and promised them free stuff, free health care, free everything. So this is the fraud that's taking place. And she's out there talking to these people, and they actually believe that these are concentration camps where you grab people and put them in them and then work them to death. No, these are huge processing centers where 90%+ of the people get dumped on the street after a week and then go apply for asylum and then never show up, 90% of them again, to the hearings. Look up these numbers. The only people being sent back are convicted murderers and criminals that are in the system. All they're doing is letting them passport. Our borders are basically open under federal law. Just like you fly in from out of the country, they check your passport, check there's no warrants out or whatever, and you're let into the country. And if you're a person with a visa, you're let into the country. Well, these people are coming across where there aren't border checkpoints. But the left is so ignorant, their followers are, they don't realize what basic borders are in history, or that Mexico has some of the toughest borders in the world until recently. They opened them up at the behest of the United Nations. So I want to play Caitlin Bennett going out and talking to some of these folks. The full report's about 10 minutes long. We're going to play 5 minutes of it. It's up on Infowars.com. And when you look at how weak and pathetic and domesticated these people are, they've lived the lap of luxury their whole lives, and now are undermining the very country that's collapsing that has provided so much. This is the globalist plan. Represent outsiders, promise them free stuff, bring them in, give them driver's license, let them vote, and then use the democratic system that is here to overthrow that system and convert it to tyranny. Then, once we're done with this report, I'm going to come back with extremely powerful comments by Senator Ted Cruz and others. Again, I'm Alex Jones. This is the InfoWar.
I mean, honestly, you really believe that there's concentration camps at the border?
Yeah.
Then why are so many people trying to come over?
Well, they're trying to get freedom. They'll do.
But all they're going to be met with is a concentration camp, in your words. Doesn't make sense, does it?
I mean, I don't know much, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here in St. Louis, Missouri. And I don't know why we chose this city to come to ask this question, but we are asking people if they agree with Ocasio-Cortez when she says that detention centers on the U.S.-Mexico border are the same as concentration camps used during World War II. Let's see if people think that's pretty ridiculous. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently said that the detention centers used at the U.S.-Mexico border are comparable to the concentration camps used during World War II. Do you agree with that?
I do, yes.
Do you agree with that notion?
I personally do, yes.
Do you agree with that notion?
I didn't know about it, but it's not good.
Do you think that that's what we're doing at the border, putting them in concentration camps?
I hope not.
Do you agree with Ocasio-Cortez?
Yeah.
So honestly, you really believe that there's concentration camps at the border?
Yeah.
Then why are so many people trying to come over?
Well, they're trying to get freedom. They'll do.
But all they're going to be met with is a concentration camp, in your words. Doesn't make sense, does it?
I mean, I don't know much, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has recently said that the detention centers at the U.S.-Mexico border are comparable and basically the same as concentration camps used in World War II.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I,
I mean, I personally do. I think when we look back on history, we always like to think that we're on the right side of history with things, and then history repeats itself and everyone's really against it. So, I mean, I think it's going to take some time for people to kind of see it for what it is.
You know, when you look at the pictures of concentration camps and what they look like, they were just a little bit worse, you know? But I guess in this day and age, I mean, it's good to draw correlations, but that's a little over the top for me.
Okay, so you say they're just a little bit worse. How do you find them similar?
Well, taking any demographic and sticking them in one place is how they're similar to me.
What demographic is being stuck in the detention center?
Oh, absolutely Hispanic.
Do you think that's a fair comparison?
It depends. I think for her party, it probably makes sense, right? But I think that if she really wants to win over all of America, it's going to be tough with such a polarizing comment.
Do you think that most Democrats would agree with her notion that they're the same?
I think that they would probably, it depends where you are, right? I think maybe half of Democrats would agree with her comment.
Comparing it to a concentration camp, that's almost disrespectful to like the people who actually went through that.
I don't think they're the same, but I feel like it's because they're not, you know, we're not killing people. We're not killing people, that we know of. But I don't know, that's a tough one. Like, I feel like it could be almost the same, but not quite.
I haven't been in a concentration camp, so I don't have anything to compare it with.
Well, I mean, we can hear from people who have been. Several people are alive today that lived through that concentration camp in Germany. They're coming out saying that it's not quite the same as what's going on at the border. Do you take their word for it? I mean, are we killing 6 million people at the U.S. border and stripping their identities and...
Then again, I didn't hear them say it, so I don't, you know, I'm just taking your word for it.
Do you think that even if just one person is killed by illegal immigration, that that's a problem and we should do something at the border?
I think anyone being killed is a problem. I don't think people are being killed due to illegal immigration. I think
there's about 4,000 people
Some illegal immigrants may end up killing people, but that's not the same as saying people are being killed due to illegal immigration.
We have a congresswoman named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez who recently compared the detention centers at the U.S.-Mexico border to concentration camps used during World War II. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree?
Not
very. All right. Super male vitality is what he needs to be able to talk about these things. What a pansy. Do you think that a detention center for illegals coming across the border would be the same as a concentration camp used in Germany for the Holocaust?
I would hope it wouldn't be.
Do you think that's what's happening?
I have no idea because I haven't researched it.
I mean, I know that at the detention centers there's like a lot of people crowded into very small spaces, and I like very much disagree with that. I can see how you would like compare that to other spaces where people have been held against their will. So.
And it's people of similar, so it's Mexican people coming across the border, and whereas it was like Jewish people in a lot of the concentration camps. So that part, yeah, maybe a little similar.
Are the pictures from the border showing any like chambers?
I didn't say anything to that extent.
I haven't seen anything like that, but again, you don't know. I mean, you
so it's possible that chambers could be down there.
I don't know.
We've got other special reports coming up, so please stay with us. Last week, AOC attempted to launch a Jussie Smollett-level hoax. She went out with Mayor de Blasio and other accomplices and started crying in front of the camera and broke down because she was looking at the children inside those cages, inside that concentration camp. Well, there were dozens of other photographers there, and they put out larger photos that weren't cropped, showing that there was nobody on the other side of that fence but a few bored police and a few vehicles. So now her photographer is going across the internet, contacting people like InfoWars and saying, you don't have a right, even though he tweeted it out, to show our photo next to other people's photos showing exactly what happened. First off, ladies and gentlemen, if you're telling people that we have basically death camps on the border, and you're trying to incite violent revolution through that, as the Democratic Party are doing, and then there are a bunch of other photos showing that it's not true and that she's not breaking down looking at children, it is a public interest for us to show the public what really happened. It is the very definition of fair use. She has pulled a political stunt to scare everybody, just like she said the world was going to end in 12 years. or she said cauliflower is racist and we shouldn't grow it, even though it actually comes from Africa and the Middle East. It's insane. And we have a right to stand up to her and show people the truth, just like we stood up to Jussie Smollett. So, you can go to Infowars.com and Newswars.com and read Paul Joseph Watson's article that details all of it. Again, here's the article on Newswars.com and Infowars.com that they don't want you to read or see. So whatever you do, don't share this article. Do what AOC and her photographers say. Shut your stinking American mouths. AOC photographer demands removal of images showing Congresswoman crying over nothing. Legal threat came after stunt was condemned as a misleading photo op. We subscribe to Getty Images, so we have all the photos from Getty showing that they cropped the photos, so you're not stopping us. The photographer who took the photos of Alexandria Cortez appearing to cry at a protest outside of Tent City in Texas demanded the removal of the images. We've got that full list right there, and we've got a link to his tweet. You can see it all for yourself. So again, because this didn't go as planned, at least up at AOC's level, we're told to memory hold this out of 1984, but we're not doing it. Now, shifting gears into what's really happening down there. Very powerful piece with Senator Ted Cruz and Sean Hannity, where Cruz lays out what we've been hammering and hammering and hammering as hard as we can, because thousands of children are being killed.
Look, the debate last night, the clown car is broken. There's no brake, and it only steered left. I gotta say, that was scary last night. It was scary to see the Democrats, every one of them, falling all over each other to get further and further and further left. You saw the Democrats, you just went through it in your monologue powerfully. You saw them embrace late-term abortions. You saw them embrace 70% tax rates. You saw them embrace socialism. You saw them tell the American people they want to take away everyone's health insurance. And you saw them embrace open borders. One of the most disturbing exchanges is when several of those candidates began saying they wanted to eliminate the provision in law that makes it illegal to cross the border, that makes it a crime to cross the border illegally. Now, Sean, as you know, last month, we apprehended over 144,000 people in the month of May crossing illegally. Well, the Democrat solution to that is, well, let's not make it a crime. There we go. The problem goes away. That is open borders. It's irresponsible. And it is sadly where the Democratic Party is today. Sean, you and I have both been down to the border together. I'm going to be going on Monday back to the border to really try to highlight the crisis we're having there. Now, we saw some positive development today in that Congress finally passed what the president asked for, $4.5 billion. That includes over $1 billion for Border Patrol. That includes over $200 million for ICE. That's good. But here's the bad news. The Democrats in Congress refuse to close the loopholes that are causing this crisis. They refuse to do anything to fix the crisis. And what that means, I'll tell you one of the most disturbing reports I'm getting, Sean. I'm getting more and more reports from law enforcement of cartels and traffickers renting children, because the idiotic policy that the Democrats have put in place is if that someone shows up with a child, that they're allowed to stay. They're allowed to go free. And as a result, you're seeing little children who are suddenly, they're finding more and more instances where they're with adults that are not their parents, that are not their family, that are strangers to them, but the child is essentially their get-out-of-jail-free card. That is cruel to incentivize kids being abused like that. And you know what? The Democrats on that stage, the Democrats on the stage right now, not a single one of them is willing to do anything to fix it.
Senator Cruz not only adopted our clown world meme, as the president, his son, and everyone else has done from the debates, he got into the fact that the Border Patrol is telling him that they're kidnapping children to bring them across as get-out-of-jail-free cards, the cartels. Well, that's in the Senate report from 5 years ago with Obama doing it. And one-third of the kids aren't with their parents. They've been kidnapped. That's all in Senate reports. That's even in the Washington Post. So finally, the Senate and the House are figuring out what's going on and how huge this is. Here's part of that report with Senator Cruz and Sean Hannity. Then I'm going to cut to some of what Tucker Carlson had to say about this whole situation. And then we'll be back in the second hour with jam-packed highlights of Clown World Day 1 and Clown World Day 2, where the Democrats completely divorced themselves from reality.
And in case anyone missed it, the two whitest candidates on stage decided to repeat the point in stilted Spanish.
Cada votar, cada votante necesitamos la representación y cada voz necesitamos escuchar. Este presidente ha atacado, ha demonizado los inmigrantes. Es inaceptable. Voy a cambiar esto.
Got that, gringo? You can add the English language to the long and growing list of things the Democratic Party considers racist. How long before you're banned from speaking it? Think we're joking? Right. Better to learn Espanol if you want to talk to your grandkids. It's a brand new world. Some of the least impressive people in America are making the rules. Hope you're excited for it. At least men will be able to get free abortions. Even when they weren't speaking Spanish, when Democrats argued it was typically an effort to one-up one another on immigration, who could be most radical? Watch this.
I want to make sure everybody is treated with respect.
I'm still talking about everybody else.
But you're looking at just one small part of this. I'm talking about a comprehensive rewrite of our immigration
laws.
That's
not true.
And if we do that, I don't think it's asking too much for people to follow our laws.
I'm talking about millions of folks. A lot of folks that are coming are not seeking asylum.
Wound up. Fox's Ed Henry was in Miami last night for the debate, and he joins us this evening. We're always glad to have him. Good to see you, Ed. How was it?
Tucker, good to see you. Amazing. Round two coming up. You laid it out pretty interestingly. One of the juiciest parts of this story, though, is that not too long ago, Julian Castro himself said the border crisis was BS. That's what he told CNN. Now he's trying to break out of the pack by beating up on the president, so he's saying just the opposite. It's such a crisis, he said, we need to do something radical. The word you used a moment ago, so radical that Democrat Amy Klobuchar said, time out. She said she'll look at decriminalizing illegal crossings, but said, wait, the real focus should be on going after human traffickers who are hurting women and children and people who are, quote unquote, violating the law, which, remember, the president has said not for weeks, but he's been saying for years. Funny, because other big Democrats on stage tonight for part two have also flipped. Kamala Harris said dealing with illegal immigration was a, quote, distraction from the real issues. Bernie Sanders said there was no crisis. Not a good look when apprehensions at the border are up 623% from 2017. Then there's Bill de Blasio, you mentioned a moment ago, pushing that 70% tax rate for the rich. He and Elizabeth Warren went further. They raised their hands in favor of ending private health insurance altogether for millions of people. Democrat John Delaney, who was on the stage last night, told me after he thinks that's political suicide for his party. One of the many reasons why the real winner from these two debates, second one starting soon, may be the president of the United States. Tucker.
Ed Henry, thank you. Interesting to know what labor unions think, who's, you know, spent 100 years negotiating private health insurance, what they're going to say about that. Well, NBC brought five separate moderators to last night's debate, almost all of them pure toadies to the Democratic Party. And together they spent, not surprisingly, most of the night tossing softball questions to the candidates, or questions intended to drag out the Russian collusion hysteria. Here's a selection.
We saw that image today that broke our hearts, and they had names. If you were president today, what would you specifically do?
Do you have a plan to deal with Mitch McConnell? If the House chooses not to impeach, as president, would you do anything to address the potential crimes that were outlined in Mr. Mueller's report?
No U.S. president has ever been prosecuted for crimes after leaving office. Do you believe that President Trump could or should be the first?
Is Trump bad? He's bad. Lots of softballs. And yet still, no matter how easy the questions, most people seem to agree that former Congressman Beto O'Rourke beclowned himself. After the debate, one obviously smitten MSNBC anchor fussed that he wasn't being taken seriously, Beto. Watch.
I do still think it's interesting that there is just a snark to the way you're treated, whether it's by the media or by the other Democrats on stage. And I wonder what that's what it looked like to me.
So you're a blushing fangirl. Okay, should you admit that in public on live TV? Probably not.
Now, last segment, I pointed out that thousands of children are dying, not in these emergency processing centers where they're just processed out and handed over to the Democrats to God knows what with, including sex trafficking. I said that thousands are dying. That's in Mexico, 200 plus thousand people total, tens of thousands of children being kidnapped, killed, trafficked from all over the world. Thousands of dead is a conservative number on the children. But of course, Democrats, socialists, globalists, they play with the dead bodies of aborted babies. They want to kill babies after they're born and are now doing it. There's no value on life in the third world. It's been the Western Christian ethos that put value on people's lives. That's why people want to get into here, because we are more humane. We have more welfare. We take care of people more. And that's the logic. That's the reality. And that's what's being exploited by people saying they're refugees. Yeah, if somebody can prove they're coming from a war-torn region and they can prove they're being persecuted like Christians, let them in. But if you look at Europe and the UK and even the US, we hardly let Christians that are being persecuted in. In England, Theresa May wouldn't let a famous woman who had a death sentence in Pakistan because she was a Christian come to the UK saying it would upset Muslims. Christians can't even flee countries where they are facing death to come to the West. Oh, but we bring the Islamics in. We won't bring Christians in from Syria, but Obama would sure bring in all the jihadis. This is the reality. And so you have these soft, stupid, lazy leftists at the ground level that just want to feel morally superior, want to look down on somebody and think of you as the bad person because they wanted to be the cool kids in school. But above them are the parasitic corporations and the globalists that hire these criminal politicians who are ruthlessly exploiting our open system to bring in a foreign voting bloc and a permanent underclass. But now you notice our talking points are mainstream, because our talking points aren't just talking points. Our talking points are research and history and reality, and that's why they want InfoWars wiped from the face of the earth. Trump knows InfoWars got him elected. Sean Hannity knows that. Tucker Carlson knows that. All of them know that. Ted Cruz knows that. And they agree with what I'm saying, and they agree with the common sense, but I had to be radical first. When you're facing radical propaganda and radical globalism, you have to admit what they're doing is out of control. Even if you sound crazy telling people, hey, they want your guns. Hey, they want open borders. Hey, they're pedophiles and want to sexualize children. Hey, they want a one world government. I was mercilessly attacked for 25 years for doing that, but now I made it safe for other people to oppose it right as the plan goes into place. Now, I'm not saying this to brag about how great I am. I'm saying this so you understand why they attack InfoWars so much, and why they attack you so much, and why they attack Trump so much, or Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson. Because they know we're talking about real issues. They know that what we're talking about are real political and geopolitical and cultural and financial and spiritual points, that if the public gets wise to it, it's game over for the NWO. We had to make it safe, though, to cover real issues. We had to hit the barbed wire. We had to be persecuted. And you as an audience, not of spectators, but of activists in the arena, have stood with us and done this. And that's why we've built these beachheads across the world for nationalism and populism and a rediscovery of family and of Jesus Christ and of self-defense and of free market and of common sense and of the Western ethos. Because you stood with InfoWars, because you shared the links, because you prayed for us, because you bought the products, we now have a fighting chance. That's why I cannot stress to you enough how critical it is that you realize that you are the light in the dark of the night, no matter what color you are or where you came from. Last night, I went to the store because we'd forgotten some stuff, and I ran into white families, Hispanic families, black families, all listeners. I got mobbed by almost everybody I walked by. They said, oh, we love Millie Weaver. We love Caitlin Bennett. Oh, we love Owen Schroyer. Oh, we love Paul Watson. We love you. And they were talking about what they saw on the site and what was happening. And they have tried to suppress us, but it's blowing up in their face thanks to you spreading the word, thanks to you and your word of mouth. You are doing an amazing job, and that's why the globalists are so scared. All right, we're going to post this feed up to InfoWars.com. Please share it. We're going to go to break, come back with even more analysis of Clown World, where the Democrats are really showing you who they are and what their real plans are. I'm Alex Jones, NewsWars.com.
Why are they trying to come here if we suck so bad?
Oh, yeah, it's
just
so
come
bad.
Here legally. I mean, I don't... Excuse me. Cory Booker.
Este presidente ha atacado, ha demonizado los inmigrantes.
Okay.
Voy a cambiar reste. On day one.
So he's your friend. He speaks Spanish. He wants to rape you. He wants to feed off you.
That was the most forced.
Is the Democrats running the coyotes in MS-13?
He recited.
Here, let's
that
go back to him. Muchos grandes screw you in Panucha.
Necesitamos incluir
cada persona en el éxito de esta economía. Pero si queremos hacer eso, necesitamos incluir cada persona en nuestra democracia. Cada votante necesitamos la representación y cada voz necesitamos escuchar.
La situación ahora es inaceptable. Este presidente ha atacado, ha demonizado los inmigrantes. Es inaceptable. Voy a cambiar este.
¿Qué haría usted en el primer día? Si usted
la gulusrompa kundi bagrombo, shanginga pranyongo pataka na guglu. So now, imagine a Mexican TV where he's speaking Spanish. Or Spanish, like to show up. People go, what the hell is this?
Cierra la boca.
Valeria, mucho grande.
We would accept them into this country and follow.
Poopy.
So a show of hands, who as president would sign on to the 2015 nuclear deal as it was originally negotiated?
One of them but Booker is a snotsucker.
Why not?
May I address that? First and foremost, it was a mistake to pull out of that deal. And one of the reasons why we're seeing this hostility now is because Donald Trump is marching us to a far more dangerous situation. Literally, he took us out of a deal that gave us transparency into their nuclear program.
Man, he's got some long teeth.
Nuclear breakout 10, 20 years. And now we see Iran threatening to go further, and we're being pulled in further and further into this crisis.
I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice. And, you know, what that means is that just because a woman, or let's also not forget someone in the trans community, a trans female, is poor, doesn't mean they shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to choose.
No. I think that this, anybody who is smarter than a light bulb that would run as a Democrat realizes that this is the race you sit out. You just don't want to get involved in this race. You'll get drug into the mud with these mental incapacitated
I agree. So let's go back to these ding-dongs. Here it is.
In a school shooting last year, and where there has been significant...
She looks like a vampire bat.
Well, she just got back from another 10 lines of coke, so, I mean, come on. They powdered her nose up.
Literally looks like a psychotic demon.
Yeah, she powdered her nose during the break, Alex.
Should there be a role for the federal government...
Lauren's not on drugs, man. She's a total corporate empty shell. She's an OCD...
I think we had a little mic issue in the back.
Control room, we've got...
Vampire, she's not real.
What is going on right now?
The audience. All right.
Yeah, this is disintegrating.
They're having tech issues all the time.
Let's listen to this.
Look at that comb job.
Not far from Parkland, Florida. Gun activism has become a big part of high school life up there in Broward County. Many of you are calling for
back to feeding on school shootings,
for the restoration of the assault weapons ban. But even if it's put in place, there's still going to be perhaps hundreds of millions of guns still on the streets. Is there a role for the federal government in order to get these guns off the streets?
So now they pledge their allegiance. She's in Joker purple, by the way, to kill the guns.
No, they're having an audio issue. They can't even communicate right now.
Colleagues,
correct. Leave it alone.
If the control room could turn off the mics.
Control room, clown world.
Yes.
Look at Mr. Maddow.
Mr. Maddow forgot to take his hormones.
Guess what, guys? We are going to take a quick break.
Oh, my God.
We will be right back.
Clown world.
Oh, man. Hey, Robert. There's a little honk. There's a little clown horn on the honk, desk honk. To your right. Can you give that a honk for us?
Yeah, give us a honk.
Give us a little honk.
Welcome to McDonald's. Let's go back to Chuck Todd, the Democratic Party operative, with his husband, Michael Maddow. Let's go back to this.
Question here. Parkland, Florida. It's just north of here in Broward County.
By the way,
as you know,
they tried this 5 minutes ago. So we're back to Parkland, Florida. Take your guns away.
It has inspired a lot of you to come out with more robust plans to deal with guns, including assault weapons ban. But even if you're able to implement that.
I don't want her managing.
What do you do about the hundreds of millions of guns already?
I would want her being my nurse.
And does the federal government have to play a role in dealing with it?
So, in this period of time that I've been running for president, I've had more than 100 town halls.
You mean hundreds of millions of gun owners, not guns, you dumb
unfiltered
witch.
Unfiltered questions. And the single hardest question I've gotten.
Single hardest question?
I got one from a little boy, and I got one from a little
boy. Why am I wearing Joker purple?
And that is to say, when you're president, how are you going to keep us safe? That's our responsibility as
adults. Arm the teachers.
When you leave the border wide open, you damn piece of work.
from gun violence.
But I love how they ignore the fact that the Parkland parent teachers voted to arm the teachers to protect the kids. So these people are so out of touch with reality, it's just, it's next level.
All right, let them talk.
In this country, and we need to treat it like that. So what can we do? We can do the things that are sensible. We can do the universal background
check. It's Adolf Warren.
Ban the weapons of war.
Elizabeth Hitler.
So double down on the research and find out what really works, where it is that we can make the differences at the margins that will keep our children safe. We need to treat this like the virus that's killing our children.
Yeah. How many mass shootings happen at a bank where there's armed guards?
That are already out there.
What I think we need to do is we need to treat it like a serious research problem, which we have not done. Okay. You know, guns in the hands of a collector who's had them for decades, who's never fired them, who takes safety seriously, that's very different from guns that are sold and turned over quickly. We can't treat this as an across-the-board problem. We have to treat it like a public health emergency.
She didn't even answer the question.
It means bring data to bear,
scared
and it means make real change in this country.
No, that's it, Robert, because they don't want to admit in so many words that they're going to come for the guns, because they know even Democrat voters aren't for that. So they do this whole, again, it's a cotton candy approach. Oh, you know, gun violence is bad, and we want to protect the kids.
Precisely. Because, I mean, if you look at it, one of the main groups they lost in voter support were African-American men gun owners. So the Trump made major inroads in them with 2016. It was a key decisive factor in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, key states that they won. That's why she kept dodging it. In fact, she even contradicted herself. It was unique. I mean, the ability of lefty lawyers to contradict themselves is always extraordinary to me. She says, this is not an across-the-board problem, but it's a public health across-the-board problem, which I don't really have a solution for, except to say I'm for a solution. That isn't actually a solution.
Yeah, and of course, none of it makes any sense. She says she wants to do a research project. What does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. I would like to stop it somehow, but not necessarily stop it. I don't want anybody to be mad at me who wants gun control. I don't want anybody to be mad at me who has the guns and knows that guns lead to better safety than they lead to violence and crime. So she just can't answer the question. It was her biggest dodge of the night, and F. Chuck Todd let her off the hook again.
You know, it's amazing. Cory Booker looks angry all the time. Have you ever noticed that?
I was about to say, he's trying to do his Spartacus moment. You know, at least Clinton would bite his lip and try to do this. I'm really sorry. I feel your pain. Whereas Booker is doing this, you know, he's always trying to do, I am Spartacus.
All right. I think Rachel Maddow just had her testosterone therapy. Let's see what she said.
Something like this. Next to nothing has changed in federal law that might affect the prevalence of school shootings. Is this a problem that is going to continue to get worse over our lifetimes? Or is there something that you would do as president that you really think would turn it around?
Yeah, Rachel, I'm the dad of a 10-year-old girl, Karina, who's here tonight.
They still can't even get his mic on.
The worst thing.
Man, that guy, he's going to make everybody doing the drinking test drunk fast. This is the second time he's like, hit check mark. He talked about his kid. He made sure his kid was in the audience, made sure there was a reference to it. So he covered like three drinking. He was like, drink.
Those farmers already underwater in debt. Their market's closed to them by a trade war.
By the way, the government admits their cloud seeding, and so that's what's leading to these floods. But no one will talk about that.
They're going to fund resiliency.
I'll give them credit. The media is doing a good job of only focusing on the
top. Shut up, Pedo O'Rourke. Let's go to Robert Barnes, constitutional lawyer. You want to give him credit? Go ahead, Barnes.
Well, I'll just give the cameraman credit, because they're doing a good job keeping the whole Beto doing all of this off the camera. So that's why they're...
What's weird is everybody... I've had Italians ask me, are you Italian? I'm like, no. So I wave my arms around. But I do it on time, like a little bit before I say it. With Beto, he's like, I'll tell you, I'm really angry, and now I'm going to hit you in the face. I mean, what is up with the delay? Go back to this. God knows what we're about to hear. Here it is.
Discrimination in the workplace. Still people who are unable to find a home for their families.
They're all fighting to get here, but we suck.
That we need to address.
But it's not enough.
I heard enough. As long as they are hardworking.
It's not enough.
Civil rights is some place to begin. In the African-American civil rights community, another place to focus on was to stop the lynching of African-Americans.
We've the lynching?
Jesse Smollett.
When's the last time that happened? 50 years?
African American. Oh, but Jesse Smollett. Or Jesse.
Oh, yeah. Jesse Smollett stage.
We don't talk enough about how many children.
Like, oh, let's go hang a black person. Yeah, great.
Who do not go to school because of fear. It's not enough just to
be. Oh, my gosh.
Hispanics are going to go to school.
But you know the Mexican gangs are the main group killing blacks now. All over the country. They're killing them and taking over their territory. That's why the Bloods and the Crips have gotten together. So you got this black guy saying white people are lynching black people when there's not been a documented case in like 10 years. I mean, Robert, go. You're a famous civil rights lawyer. Go ahead, Barnes.
Well, they actually used the Jussie Smollett hoax to pass an anti-lynching bill that had no purpose whatsoever. That had no relevance whatsoever. So the fact that he brought that up is evidence of where we're at. And then I guess he's gave all the school children who watched the debate tonight a new excuse. Mommy, I don't want to go to school because I'm scared. I'm scared. You know, other
he even said people are scared of being lynched. This is preposterous.
So that's what they're trying to do to stop the new political realignment, which is people anti-establishment, sick of government corruption. Really, everybody wants smaller government. But again, the media is there telling them.
Question. There's been a political realignment, and there's no way to reverse it. You can stall it, but like holding a beach ball underwater, it makes it bigger. Robert Barnes, don't just agree with what I just said. Do you agree with that, A? B, where is this going?
Well, you've had multiple political realignments over American history where a political group or group of constituencies realigns their party, their politics, their person, the party they support, the person they support, the policies they support, because that better aligns with their values and their community interests. And what you're seeing is some of the oldest working class Democratic areas in the country, through Jacksonian Appalachia, from East Texas, all the way through East Tennessee and Western North Carolina, up through Appalachia and Ohio and Western Pennsylvania, now joining the industrial heartland and Michigan and Wisconsin and Indiana and other parts of the upstate New York, going back to core anti-establishment.
I agree. Would you call it an American reawakening party?
It very much so. It's restoring the original American liberty and the original American freedoms. But who they're at war with is the Chi-Com model of a Chinese social credit model system that the monopolistic oligarchs and the social media coastal elites want to impose on the rest of the world, including America. And so what it is the democratic power, the power of the votes, the power of the people, the power of the public, is all aligned in the populist cause, but they're up against those who can disproportionately control the cultural transmission industries, news, academia, Hollywood, entertainment, and now big tech, which is the biggest control. The private monopoly of the public forum is the biggest threat to the populist revolution having success. It's why what tonight revealed and unveiled is that they can't have competent, capable candidates on the Democratic nomination side that can adequately or effectively or persuasively voice the opinion of the elites in any way.
And I totally agree with you, because here's my problem. I'd rather have a big, powerful, mean enemy to tell people about because we're going to beat them. They were so pathetic. But they're so massively funded, we can't underestimate their power. They were so pathetic, though, that I'm actually concerned because I don't know how to calculate it yet, but this is really bad.
The real Democrat candidate is Google and Apple and Facebook and Twitter.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter how pathetic their minions or slaves are, like Sauron. So let me ask you this, Robert Barnes. What do you call this, then? Because I mean, all over the world, they're losing. They keep doubling down. The big banks stole all the money. They keep tripling down. Nothing's working. Where does this end, then?
Well, it's sort of like that HBO show Succession, where effectively the Clintons effectively defaced the ability of any Democrat to come up and have a meaningful, effective, persuasive voice. And the few that do voice opinions that are against what the Democratic...
Hey, stay there. We've got the Lieutenant Governor of California... with our host here.
About some of the Let's go to her. Related to gun control that we're taking in California. They asked, how do you take whatever the number was, hundreds of millions of weapons off the street? In California, we're doing background checks on ammunition. So we've got some creative solutions, and I think that those will hopefully take center stage tomorrow with Senator Harris.
As Lieutenant Governor of California, is there anyone that you have endorsed yet officially?
Yes, of course. I've endorsed my senator, but I will also say that I'm very much a believer that as Democrats across the country really start to peel back the layers and examine their choices, that we need to stay positive, that we need to decide who we're for, and help our candidates deliver their message and help voters decide.
Is there anyone you think that has a chance to defeat Trump in 2020?
Anyone who is the Democratic nominee is going to have the full force of the Democratic Party and people who believe in American democracy behind them. I strongly believe that, and I am really very confident that our party is going to come together behind our nominee.
So during this debate, who do you think stood out the most to you? Like, who did the best job in the debate?
I didn't realize it was done.
Look, I think that it was really an opportunity for all the candidates to define themselves a little bit. And with so many of them and so little time, it was hard to get too far beyond that. But frankly, I think Elizabeth Warren did a really good job. I think that, interestingly, Mayor de Blasio from New York really kind of had an opportunity to talk about.
We should ask her if her son is named Typhus.
Oh, does anybody have a larger thing?
Sorry.
Ask her about the piles of trash and typhus breaking out in L.A.
What do you think about the crisis right now in California where we have homeless people, we've got typhus outbreaks?
No.
What's going on with that?
Look, California, like any state, has our challenges.
Well done,
we are a state of 40 million people. We have a homeless crisis, an affordability crisis that sadly, but, you know, has come along with our economic growth.
We
also have people in Sacramento and our legislature, a new governor, lieutenant governor, who work together collaboratively and cooperatively. Lots of different opinions. But at the same time, you don't have the
ask
kind
her why blue cities are drowning in seas of human feces.
So I'm very optimistic about our state and addressing some of the challenges. So
what do you have to say to some people that criticize the Democratic Party saying that a lot of blue cities have these homeless problems?
So homelessness is a problem in California.
Like,
homelessness is a problem across the country. A lot of that has to do with mental health issues. And, you know, we are finding new ways to try to address the problem. And one of the biggest in California is we just have to build more housing. So that is very much at the forefront of our.
Ask her what she makes about San Francisco having the most billionaires, but also a poverty problem.
Illegal immigration are again at the forefront as well. What do you think Kamala Harris can do for the U.S., or what do you think that she'll bring to the table that I guess President Trump isn't bringing right now to solve these problems?
Well, first of all, what she's going to bring to the table is compassion and the fact that.
Don't you love how we got two women? And so she's just. She's talking about.
We cannot forget that America is a nation of immigrants. That is who we are. And starting from a place
of
Ellis Island.
Anger and vindictiveness that has driven
anger and vindictiveness is like 50 times the record level.
Kamala Harris put more people in jail than Trump ever has. This is ridiculous.
Tearing children apart and away from their families is just absolutely unacceptable. At the same time, what we're really grappling with here is now decades of inaction when it comes down to some really.
All right, welcome back. And the debate is underway with opening statements by Bernie Sanders. We just had him make a statement. And let's join this with Joe Biden making his statement.
Build America. Ordinary middle class Americans build America. My dad used to have an expression. He said, Joe, a job is about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's being able to look your kid in the eye and say everything's going to be okay. Too many people who are in the middle class and poor have had the bottom fall out under this proposal. What I'm saying is that we've got to be straightforward. We have to make sure we understand that to return dignity to the middle class, they have to have insurance that is covered and they can afford it. They have to make sure that we're in a situation where there's continuing education and they're able to pay for it. And they have to make sure that they're able to breathe air that is clean and they have water that they can drink. Air. Look, Donald Trump has put us in a horrible situation. We do have enormous income inequality. And the one thing I agree on is we can make massive cuts in the $1.6 trillion in tax loopholes out there. And I would be going about eliminating Donald Trump's tax cuts for the wealthy.
On the people who've been in government for the last 30 years who were around when this problem was created to be.
Wait, how did this guy make the stage?
Exactly.
He said he would nuke them if they didn't put him on.
Can't take a good idea and start a business.
Yeah, exactly.
He threatened violence against the DNC if they didn't put him on the debate stage.
What's the odds he talks about guns here in his first discussion?
Cancer cure.
I'm all for part of Joe's generation. Let me respond.
Before we move on,
the issue, if I may say, is not generational.
Please, Senator Sanders, and I'll let you.
generational. The issue is who has the guts to take on Wall Street, to take on the fossil fuel industry, to take on the big money interests who have unbelievable influence over the economic and political life of this country.
These issues have better
Senator Harris, I'm so sorry.
We will. Here we go.
Here's the fireworks.
For all.
Senator Harris.
Moderate.
One clown at a time.
I'll tell you one thing. It's really nice that we've got all these plans, but if you think we're going to beat Donald Trump by just having all these plans, you got another thing coming.
Because we've got to use identity politics.
You need yoga, baby.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Oh, yeah. Free for all. Everybody in the world, come to America. You get a free education and free health care. So why wouldn't they come to? You know what? No wall is going to keep people out if you give them free health care and free education.
Yeah, in fact, you would be irrational not to come here.
Remember, we're talking about.
I believe at the show of hands, you did not raise your hand.
Oh, no, I raised mine.
Did you raise your hand?
I raised it.
No, I did.
Okay. Sorry.
I didn't hear the question.
I was like, everybody else got their hand up. My hand's up.
Which is different than Obamacare.
Yes. Both of my hands are up.
Can you explain that change?
Yes. You cannot. Hands up, don't shoot. As the mayor said, you cannot let people who are sick, no matter where they come from, no matter what their status, go uncovered. You can't do that. It's just going to be taken care of, period. You have to. It's a humane thing to do. But here's the deal. The deal is that he's right about three things. Number one, they, in fact, contribute to the well-being of the country, but they also, for example, they've increased the lifespan of Social Security because they have a job, they're paying a Social Security tax. That's what they're doing. It's increased the lifespan. They would do the same thing in terms of reducing the overall cost of health care by them being able to be treated and not wait till they're an extremis. The other thing is, folks, look, we can deal with these insurance companies. We can deal with the insurance companies by, number one, putting insurance executives in jail for their misleading. They're misleading advertising, what they're doing on opioids, what they're doing paying doctors to prescribe. We could be doing this
Obama
by making sure everyone who is on Medicare, that the government should be able to negotiate the price for whatever the drug costs are. We can do this by making sure that we're in a position that we, in fact, allow people.
Decriminalization of the border.
Massive.
If you'd be so kind, raise
billions of dollars made by CPS bureaucracy. No due process, kidnapping of kids, but they don't care.
Without documentation. Can we keep the hands up so we could see them?
The average American is woefully undereducated about the history of race in the United States.
Ms. Williamson, thank you.
Vice President Biden, we're going to get to you. Hang on. We're going to get
to stage. I would like to speak on the issue of race.
She played her identity card.
Tell him, Kamala.
She got the identity card. She waved it loud. She saw Booker did it. She's going
to
do it.
We'll give you 30 seconds since we're going to come back to you on this again in just a moment.
I mean, she's the only one up there that can play the rude, obnoxious bitch card, so we got to give her credit.
So, on the issue of race, I couldn't agree more that this is an issue that is still not being talked about truthfully and honestly.
Her parents are really upset that she's doing this again. Her parents have begged her to quit playing the race card, but she keeps doing it.
Profiling or discrimination.
They're ashamed of her.
Growing up, my sister and I had to deal with the neighbor who told us her parents couldn't play with us because we were black. And I will say
those
also
were Canadian neighbors,
that
by the way.
In this campaign, we've also heard, and I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden, I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground.
The first knife in the back by a senator.
But I also believe, and it's
she's not a senator,
and
yeah.
It was actually very, it was hurtful.
I think we should just stop this and ask each one of them individually, all 10 of them, are you a racist?
Senators who built their reputation.
I mean, we really
are you or have you ever been?
Have you ever been associated with a racist?
And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California.
But you joined the party that
part of the
set up Jim Crow.
To integrate her public schools.
This is smart,
though. And she was bused.
Politically, she had to do this because Biden's support is dominant amongst older African Americans.
Yeah.
So I will tell you that on this subject, it cannot be an intellectual debate among Democrats. We have to take it seriously. We have to act swiftly. As Attorney General of California, I was very proud to put in place a requirement that all my special agents would wear body cameras and keep those cameras
on. Barack, my bro.
This is the longest 30 seconds in Democrat state history, by the way.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. They got interesting clocks at the Democrats. It's basically free time.
Why not?
Vice President Biden.
when I was with Obama.
She designed that to be video viral.
Yeah.
Worked too.
It's a mischaracterization of my position across the board. I did not praise racists. That is not true. Number one. Number two,
aside from Strom Thurmond,
have this campaign litigated on who supports civil rights, whether I did or not.
All the segregationists. Aside from them.
I was a public defender. I didn't become a prosecutor. I came out and I left a good law firm to become a public defender. When in fact, my city was in flames because
he took
of
the bait. That was a mistake.
The assassination mistake. Of Dr. King. Number one. Number two, as the U.S. as the Vice President of the United States.
There's the memory thing. Happened again. Alex was talking
we
about.
We worked very hard to see to it we dealt with these issues in a major, major way. The fact is that in terms of busing, you would have been able to go to school the same exact way because it was a
really
local decision.
He bit the bait.
He completely. Trump is going to wipe him. He's no competition. Trump is the master troll.
if Kamala can troll Biden into this bait, then.
Yeah, he took it full throttle. And the idiot failed to mention his Barack card. Didn't even play it.
Didn't even play the Barack card.
Not just only African Americans, but the LGBT community.
But Vice President Biden, do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing
this
in America?
This is an issue that less than 1% of Americans care about or ever think about.
It's purely symbolic. It's just symbolic politics.
That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was
He's actually going
to
defend his busing position. Just run away from that. Nobody's worried about busing happening right now, Joe.
Identity politics is all they've got to distinguish
each
other. Because they're all so far to the left and to Marxist socialism.
This was smart, though. Politically savvy on Kamala Harris's part.
Because there are moments in history where states fail to preserve the civil rights of all people.
I supported the ERA from the very
beginning. We all knew Biden was low-hanging fruit. I don't think any of us expected Kamala Harris to be the one to knock it off the tree.
Exactly. No doubt about it. But you know what?
She just went for the throat.
But Willie Brown was a skilled man, and she learned at the knees of a very skilled person.
That we, in fact, deal with the notion of denying people access to the ballot box. I agree that everybody, once they, in fact, they should. Anyway, my time's up.
There it is. There it is.
Time's up. He called time on himself.
That was smart. He was like, hey, if all the words get jumbled in your head, just go, but time's up, time's up.
That's the second time he's done that.
Yeah, he's completely losing it. He's not going to be able to go through all these debates. 7 debates, 8 debates, 10 debates. Not a chance. Joe Biden is done. He's DOA. Sell him now. Sell the stock.
That diversity brings to this contest and to these issues.
Now that there is a conservative majority on the Supreme Court, several Republican-controlled states have passed laws to severely
maybe she didn't see the news today. I don't think they've got a conservative majority.
They have a Hamptons
Court
majority.
During your presidency, if you're elected president, what is your plan if Roe is struck down in the court while you're president?
Roe is struck down.
Well, my plan is poor somebody Roe, who believes Roe. For a thought that a woman's right to control her own body is a
here's
constitutional right. That government,
except when it comes to vaccines, you got to take those.
On that right, we will do everything we can to defend our Roe.
Your body, your choice. Until the baby's born, then the government's in control.
And if you want to use stem cells, now if that's your stem cells and you're from your body, we're not going to let you have that choice either.
Nominate any justice to the Supreme Court, unless that justice is 100% clear, he or she will defend Roe v. Wade. Third of all, I do not believe in packing the court. We got a terrible 5-4 majority conservative court right now. But I do believe that constitutionally we have the power to rotate judges to other courts. And that brings in new blood into the Supreme Court.
We're not going to pack the court, but we're going to pack the court.
That will understand that a woman has the right to control her own body and that corporations cannot run the
Senator,
United
I'm
States
gonna
of America.
Senator, I'm going to give you 10 additional seconds.
The corporations are running.
Ernie, that was a fumble bumble right there.
Overturned Roe, and Roe is gone. All of the things you just described would be to try to preserve Roe. If Roe is gone, what could you do as president to preserve abortion rights?
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. It didn't come up here, but let's face this. Medicare for all guarantees every woman in this country the right to have an abortion if she wants it.
Thank you, Senator.
And can I just address this for a second?
And the taxpayers will be forced to pay for it.
Directly to America's women and to the men who love them. Women's reproductive rights are under assault by President Trump and the Republican Party. 30 states are trying to overturn Roe v. Wade right now. And it is mind-boggling to me
trying
that
to
we
protect
are
babies from being killed
on this
by
stage
your
in
likes.
2019 among Democrats whether women should have access to reproductive rights. I think we have to stop paying defense
rights.
And start playing offense. But let me tell
I think
you
we need
thing
to stop the Supreme Court from defining life, defining baby, defining marriage, getting out of their constitutional limits.
Conversations about women's rights and compromises have been made on our backs. That's how we got to Hyde. That's
how do women's rights work together with sex cults?
Yeah.
Parties. Then we have the ACA. During the ACA negotiation, I had to fight like heck with other women to make sure that contraception wasn't sold down the river or abortion services. And so what we need to know is, imagine
ACA,
this one
wasn't
question.
That supposed to be the Affordable
Care
Act?
When we meet President Trump.
What happened to the A
and
part?
Mitch McConnell walks into the Oval Office, God forbid, to do negotiations. Who do you want, when that door closes, to be sitting behind that desk to fight for women's rights? I have been the fiercest advocate Senator. For women's reproductive freedom Senator, for over a decade.
Thank
and
you.
I promise you, as president, when that door closes, I will guarantee okay. women's reproductive
Senator,
freedom Senator. No matter
Except
what.
Young women she does behind apart. Closed doors to get political influence.
We, in fact, built 500,000 recharging stations throughout the United States of America, working with governors, mayors, and others, so that we can go to a full electric vehicle future by the year 2020, or by the year 2030. I would make sure that we invested $400 million.
Like the Chevy Cruze that's out of business now that Obama endorsed? Yeah.
Technology to be the exporter, not only of the green economy, but economy that can create millions of jobs. But I would immediately join the Paris Climate Accord. I would up the ante in that accord, which it calls for, because we make up 15% of the problem. 85% of the world makes up the rest. And so we have to have someone who knows how to corral the rest of the world, bring them together, and get something done like we did in our administration.
Senator Sanders, I want to give
numbers,
you 30 seconds.
Some numbers over here.
Hold you to 30.
Look, the old ways are no longer relevant. The scientists tell us we have 12 years before there is irreparable damage to this planet. This is a global issue.
What yeah, we've got to get everybody packed in the cities by 2030. That's the UN timeframe.
So he's got the AOC. We're going to be all dead in 12 years.
Instead of spending $1.5 trillion on weapons of destruction, let us get together for the common enemy, and that is to transform the world's energy system away from fossil fuel to energy
efficiency. We have met the enemy, and he is us.
Who said that her goal is to make New Zealand the place where it's the best place in the world for a child to grow up. And I will tell her, girlfriend, you are so
make
old.
America, New
because
Zealand
the United
again?
States of America is going Bang. To be the best place in the world for a child to grow up.
Ms. Blaine,
we are going
she's,
to have
she's Queen Clown tonight.
Well, that was something was right there.
No, I would call the Prime Minister right. of New Zealand and say, go, notice, girl.
We're gonna take I don't, I mean, girl. Guys,
I guess we get make America, New Zealand again.
Make New Zealand, that's it. That's
Manza.
Make America, New Zealand again. That's
guys,
it.
It's man, millions man. Of families trying to come to America, not New Zealand. People are trying to raise their kids in this country. What the hell is she talking about?
We're coming back to the debate, so let's join the debate. They've returned from their break.
Single life in Parkland. I'll approach this issue as a prosecutor.
Here we go.
I'll approach it as the only person on this stage who has voted and passed background checks, but also as a parent of a generation who sends our children to school where we look at what they're wearing so we can remember it in case we have to identify them.
Are you carrying anything concealed?
A generation who has seen thousands of black children killed in our streets, and a generation who goes to the theater and we actually look where the fire exits are. We don't have to live this way. We must be a country who loves our children more than we love our guns.
Senator Sanders, a Vermont newspaper.
If you love your children, you have guns to protect them.
That's right. I remember when we had guns in the back of pickup trucks all the time. No seatbelts. So.
But this is incredible.
Afraid of everything.
You keep going back to Parkland to say we need gun control. The Parkland School Board voted to arm the teachers.
Yeah.
So the one example that they keep using, Parkland voted to arm the teachers. Parkland voted for guns. I mean, it's unbelievable the ignorance and the lies that these candidates can get away with because they know their voters are so stupid.
And they know the media won't challenge them on it.
And they're prosecuting the government minder who was supposed to protect everybody and failed to do so.
Here you have a guy, Senator Sanders, who through most of his career opposed various gun control efforts and now is completely flip-flopped.
This is actually incredible. Bernie Sanders just lied, and there's a wide open opportunity for anybody on this panel to do it. In 1990, Bernie Sanders received so much NRA funding, he defeated a Republican. Because the Republican said he would ban assault weapons and Bernie said he wouldn't. There was a whole expose on this. Bernie Sanders is openly lying right now. There is a wide open gash bleeding out of Bernie Sanders' head. Will any of these Democrats take the punch and blow this wide open? He just said a bold-faced lie. He got NRA funding in 1990 because he said he wouldn't ban assault weapons.
For many years.
Will you buy them back?
If people want to buy, if the government wants to do that, if people want to
You're going to be the government.
Yes.
Will you buy them back?
Yes.
Senator Harris, we're going to give you 30 seconds.
Thank you. I think your idea is a great one, Congressman Swalwell.
If you don't want to sell, they'll just take it out of your hands and kill you.
The problem is Congress has not had the courage to act, which is why when elected President of the United States, I will give the United States Congress 100 days to pull their act together, bring all these good ideas together, and put a bill on my desk for signature. And if they do not, I will take executive action.
So she's running for dictator, not president, right?
The most comprehensive background check policy we've had. I will require the ATF to take the licenses of gun dealers who violate the law, and I will ban by executive order the importation of assault weapons. Because I'm going to tell you.
And then we'll have a civil war, and maybe we'll fix the government at that point.
I'm going to tell you, I have hugged more mothers who are the mothers of homicide victims, and I have attended more police officer funerals. It is enough. It is enough. There have been plenty of good ideas from members of the United States Congress. There's been no action. As president, I will take action.
Mayor Buttigieg, I want to bring you in on this, sir. A lot of discussion about assault rifles that are often shorthanded as military-style weapons. You are the only person on this stage tonight with military experience as a veteran of the Afghanistan War. Will military families... Does that inform your thinking on this view? Do you believe that military families or America's veterans will, at large, have a different take on this than the other Americans who we've been talking about and who Congressman Swalwell is appealing to with his buyback program?
Yeah, of course, because we trained on some of these kinds of weapons. Look, every part of my life experience informs this. Being the mayor of a city where the worst part of the job is dealing with violence, we lose.
He's got more shootings in his city per capita than works by a long shot.
2 or 3 years in my city alone. And this is tearing communities apart. If more guns made us safer, we'd be the safest country on earth. It doesn't work that way. And common
Same
sense
with
measures,
laws, jackass.
Like
Same with free health care and free everything. Apply that logic on the full spectrum.
Republicans, let alone most Americans,
have that
agree
drug prohibition work out for you. Oh, well, it doesn't work out too well, so let's try gun prohibition now.
And the reality is there's no correlation between gun ownership and gun violence. It just doesn't exist. Every statistical survey around the world has looked at it Sunday.
Yeah. No, really, it's being fueled by drug prohibition.
A real 30 seconds?
A real 30 seconds.
Okay. I'm the only person that's beaten the NRA nationally. I'm the guy that got the Brady bill passed, the background checks, number one. Number two, we increased that background check during the Obama-Biden administration. I'm also the only guy that got assault weapons banned, and the number of clips in a gun banned. And so, folks, look, and I would buy back those weapons. We
that
already started
make sense
talking
if you
about
put one clip in a gun.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.